In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Today, as no doubt many of you will already know, is the first Sunday of Lent. I wonder how many of us will have made a Lenten resolution to give something up. And I wonder whether you have kept your Lenten discipline even thus far. For many, Lent is an opportunity to give those New Year resolutions another go. But the religious tenor of the season means that our response to our failure can have far more serious ramifications. The Church invites each of us to keep a holy Lent, but this too often descends into a burdensome sense of guilt and enforced misery. And I wonder, is this really what God wants from us during this holy season? Will we prepare ourselves to enter into the passion, death, and resurrection of Jesus? Our passage from Deuteronomy gives us a clue, I believe, to what God is asking of us: to love the Lord our God with all our heart and all our soul and all our might. This, then, should be our aim. In which case, might there be another way to keep a holy Lent that leads to life and joy and peace through loving God, rather than 40 days of bleak and grim endurance once a year? I think that there is. I believe that a properly holy Lent is challenging, but not depressing, demanding commitment and honesty and trust in the mercy and compassion of God. In our second passage this evening from the Gospel of Luke, Jesus shows us how to go about this. He tells the much-loved parables of the lost sheep and the lost coin. And this is followed immediately in the Gospel by the parable of the lost son, the prodigal. In each of these, something is lost, there is earnest searching, and then that thing is found to much rejoicing. One of the interesting things about these parables is that although they have their similarities, they escalate. The shepherd loses one sheep out of 100. The woman loses one coin out of 10. And then the father loses one of only 2 sons. There is a sense of increasing urgency to the task of recovering the lost. Jesus is telling this story to the Pharisees, the religious leaders who are very cross with Jesus because he seems to prefer the company and be most concerned with individuals who the rest of society regard as beyond the pale, sinners in unsavoury professions, on the margins of their community, those that upright, decent, religious people wanted nothing to do with. Jesus is telling them this story because he's trying to make them see that he has come to seek out those who are lost, those who feel outcast, forgotten, too wretched to be close to other people or to God. And that this searching out and finding leads to repentance, which is the cause of much rejoicing in heaven. What does repentance, which features particularly heavily during this season, really mean? It's a word we use very often, sometimes too often, in the church. Real repentance isn't just saying a quick sorry for slipping up during Lent and having a gin or a biscuit, nor is it using Lent as an excuse for a rather self-absorbed self-loathing, where we try to focus on how very wicked we are. Let's be honest, our sinfulness is rarely so dramatically wicked. It's far more usually somewhat tawdry and repetitive, though no less damaging for that. Repentance is something rather different. The word in Greek, as used in the passage from Luke, is metanoia, which means a change of heart and mind at a deep level, an alteration of our understanding and our desire of the way our life should and could be. So here we have it. The first stage in our journey to true repentance involves our admitting that we are lost. We are wandering in a wilderness of our fear, insecurity, rage, jealousy, resentment, pride. In short, we're lost in our own sinfulness. And no matter how hard we try, or how very good our intentions, and how often we say sorry and really mean it, we just can't seem to fix ourselves. All the while, we're berating ourselves for not being better and trying to pull ourselves up by our bootstraps and become good, whatever that means for us. All this time, Jesus is tirelessly, earnestly, anxiously seeking us. The parables demonstrate that none of us is so lost that Jesus cannot find us. There is no place so dark or deep or frightening or bleak that God will not be there. Being lost is part of the human condition, but our being sought and found is the divine imperative. And it applies to each and every one of us. When Jesus speaks of the rejoicing in heaven over the one who repents, we should realize that the 99 righteous he mentions aren't really righteous at all. They just think they are. But they too are lost in their own hypocrisy and lack of self-awareness. Finally coming to terms with the understanding that we urgently need to be found by Jesus is what leads to this change, this transformation that is real repentance. We cannot be the people we were created to be on our own. It is only by casting ourselves on the love and mercy of God that we can be fully, joyfully ourselves. In short, repentance is an acknowledgement of our urgent need for grace. So although Lent is traditionally a time of being in the wilderness, if we're open to it, we realize that this is precisely the place where Jesus is, looking for us, waiting to bring us home to him. And so I invite you this Lent to accept yourself as a sinner, lost in the wilderness, and to rejoice in the knowledge that Christ himself, the shepherd, the seeker, will never tire of bringing you back within his fold, and never cease in his rejoicing with all the angels and saints of heaven in your return to him. Thanks be to God. So let us pray for the church and for the world.